Patriots closing in on the start of the regular season. One more exhibition game to go Sunday against those New York football Giants. To talk about that and the season ahead, we're joined by Christopher Price of the Boston Globe. Hello there, Chris.
Hey, Rich. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing very well, thank you. Excited for some real football soon.
Yeah, exactly. It feels like it's been too long, especially with the way things kind of ended last season for this team. So it's exciting that we're going to get real football. We're going to get meaningful football sooner rather than later.
I'm not sure how players will feel about a 17-game regular season, but I do like the 3-game preseason better.
Yeah, no doubt on that point. It's interesting. You have to kind of recalibrate your thinking. I've been talking to a handful of people, and you're starting to say, well, you know, this is a 10-win team. And you say, well, okay, 10-7 as opposed to 10-6 or 11-5. And you know, you just kind of have to, you know, rethink the math when you approach the regular season this year.
Obviously, a lot of the fan questions involve the quarterback position. It's been an interesting week with Cam Newton out because of the COVID protocols. It was an opportunity for Mac Jones, and it sure looks like he sees that opportunity. What does it mean going forward?
Yeah, it is. It's going to be fascinating to see what it means going forward, because when Cam returned, he got a lot of the number one reps, at least for, you know, for a day or so. So, look, I think that it is, you know, for the most part, kind of broad brushing here, but for the most part, in the last 20 years, it's been a merit-based system down in New England. And so when you see someone like that take advantage of the opportunities that are given to them, you know, that tends to open some eyes, and it tends to, you know, impact the depth chart. I still believe, as we sit here right now on August 27th, I think it is, that you're going to see Cam Newton open the season as the number one quarterback for this team. But I believe, you know, Mac is going to be the starter sooner rather than later. So I think that ultimately, to answer your question, when you're talking about, you know, how it all impacted the process, I think that we were still looking at a situation where Cam is the starter, but maybe this just simply accelerates Jones's overall ascension to the number one spot.
On point after, you talked about the fact that Bill Belichick is not gone with rookies a lot in his coaching career.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you can obviously point to the fact that, you know, look, he had Tom Brady for the bulk of his coaching career, but I just think it was interesting. In 26 years, he's only started two rookies, Jacoby Brissett and Eric Zier. I talked to Eric Zier this week, and he's had some really interesting things to say about how, you know, Bill approaches that week when, you know, when he has a rookie under center as opposed to, you know, a veteran backup or a veteran starter. So, look, I think that, you know, we're going to see that this year. We're, like I said, you know, we're going to see Jones start at some point over the course of the season. And if, you know, the history with Zier and Brissett is any indication, he spends a little more time over the course of the week with a rookie quarterback as opposed to a veteran. So, but essentially the formula is the same. And, you know, I don't want to get too far afield on this, but it's basically, you know, it's basically the rookie is told to kind of put your faith in the guys around you, you know, and I think Mac has some very good skill position guys around him. If you look at the running back position, that's very deep. You look at the tight end position, that's very deep. They're probably not where they want to be ultimately, the wide receiver position, but they still have some guys who can contribute on a regular basis. So I think really the number one thing is going to be keeping your head and putting your faith in Bill, making sure the guys are, you know, and putting your faith in the guys around you.
Speaking of the point after, smart Patriots fans already know this, but if somehow you have missed out, subscribe to Point After, get it delivered right to your inbox and know everything there is to know about the Patriots.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to put together, too, because I not only get a chance to do some writing on a regular basis, but we also get some, you know, we also include links over the course of the previous couple of days. More often than not, it comes out Monday and Friday. Sometimes it's Tuesday, sometimes it's Thursday, but, you know, for the most part, we do it two days a week, and it's a lot of fun to do. You know, we kind of kick around a few ideas, and, you know, we have some fun doing it. It's kind of a non-traditional thing. Earlier this week, we did the curse of number 17, because, you know, the guys who wore number 17 in New England, you know, for whatever reason, have met with some sort of untimely end, you know, whether it's Chad Jackson or Antonio Brown or Aaron Dobson. The young man who has this year, Christian Wilkerson, appears to be doing well, and maybe he's the one who ultimately breaks the curse. But it's just that kind of story is kind of an example, kind of a little bit of an offbeat subject matter when it comes to the point after every week.
The Sony Michel trade earlier this week, were you either surprised at the trade or surprised at what they got in return?
I was a little surprised at the trade, but that's just how, you know, and I remind myself quickly, that's just how Bill handles running backs. He kind of cycles through them quicker than most. I believe he has had 10 different guys lead the team in rushing over the last 15 years. And so, look, a lot of that goes back to having Brady because, you know, he can kind of, you know, make some other parts of the offense, you know, interchangeable. But, you know, he goes through his running backs pretty quickly. And so, you know, we have a situation. There's a situation now in New England where there is a lot of depth at that position. And so, you know, you can deal from a position of strength. I was a little bit surprised, though. I should say I wasn't surprised at the overall timing of the deal because Stevenson has been coming on as well as he's been. You know, he's been playing relatively well over the course of the preseason. I think that gives him a little bit more depth. I also think it wasn't a surprise that the day they dealt him, Brandon Bolden came back. Now, I'm not going to equate Brandon Bolden with Brandon Michelle or Sony Michelle, but I think, you know, you add another veteran presence to that backfield. I think, again, that kind of continues to build up that depth, and it allowed them, again, to deal from a position of strength. And so they were able to get two picks back in return.
We're talking with Christopher Price here on Downtown. We know there are questions. You alluded to them at the wide receiver position. Who's a guy at that spot that you think could be a pleasant surprise in the coming season?
Boy, that's a good question. I love Kendrick Bourne. I really do.
That's my guy, too. Not, yes.
There you go. There you go. I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's going to catch, you know, 80 or 90 balls, but I think he's a guy who strikes me as someone who could be a very good complementary receiver in that offense. You know, you're going to look to, I imagine, if everyone is healthy, you're going to look to, you know, Henry Smith, James White, you know, Jacoby Myers, a handful of other guys. But I think a guy like Bourne, maybe when, you know, if someone goes down, if there's an injury issue, he's going to be a guy who's going to be able to fill in the gaps. He's able to do multiple things. He can play a few different positions. And he's a veteran guy who's been around for a couple of years. So he has a little bit of perspective on the league that, you know, some other guys maybe not necessarily don't have. So I think Bourne is one of those guys who, for me, stands out as a possible surprise. Again, I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's going to make the Pro Bowl, but at the same time, I can envision a scenario in November, December, where we're talking about him after a, you know, 5, 6, 7 catch game, you know, making a big reception, a big situation.
I feel like this year the defense once again can be the strength of this team. As you look at the defensive unit and the number ones out there, who's the guy you think who might step up and really put some pressure on the quarterback?
Josh Uche. I think Uche is a guy, and I'm saying he's a guy who right now is maybe not necessarily in that first paragraph of potential Patriots impact defenders in the same way that Gilmore or Hightower or McCourty is, but I think, I'll include Matt Judon in that group as well. But I think he's a guy who, you know, we'll be talking about by the end of the year. Who, you know, wow, Josh Uche, 7, 8, 9, 10 sacks. You know, he's a guy who I think can be a very good situational player at this point in his career, who grows into an every down linebacker. But to see him and what he's been able to do over the course of this preseason is very, very impressive. He's clearly a guy who's coming on, who's starting to peak. Judon, for me, just in that same context, Judon is a guy who I think has a chance to be very, very special in this defense. You know, I know he arrives in New England with an impressive resume already, but, you know, from what we've seen so far and from what everyone is saying, this is a guy who has a chance to be a real impact player. But I mean, everything changes with Hightower back in the line, really. I mean, that's the bottom line. It is impossible to overstate the importance of Dante Hightower on this defense. I'm not saying he was the only reason they struggled at times last year, especially against the run, but I think having Dante Hightower on this team has a huge impact across the board, on the field, off the field. I think it's going to be a totally different defense in 2021.
Who do you think ends up starting a defensive end on the opposite side from Wise?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I don't think it's going to be Winovich. I think we could see a situation where you see Judon over there. But there are a couple of candidates right now. They have the luxury of being able to run a bunch of second level defenders out there. You know, edge guys, Judon, Wise, Winovich. I think right now, if I had to make a call, I think it would be Judon. But you know, you don't know, at least at this point. Not only because, you know, the very nature of the position, but I think you have some guys out there who could do a few different things, and you might be able to move some guys around over the course of the season to, you know, put them in position to succeed. You know, they definitely need help on the edge, not just in terms of getting after the passer, but being able to set the edge. And I think they have a couple of guys there who are capable of stepping up and making an impact this year.
Nick Folk is back. Is he the guy?
Yeah. You know, we all love the Quinn Nordin experiment. but I don't think that's going to, you know, last. I think that he was impressive in that first preseason game, at least when it came to distance and when it came to the, you know, having a big leg. But I think that, Folk gives you, even, you know, at that age, gives you more dependability and more consistency and you know, more peace of mind, honestly, if you're Bill Belichick. So, look, I wouldn't be surprised if we, you know, seeing Norton on the practice squad or, you know, at least hanging around, you know, maybe catching the Foxborough flu at some point if, you know, Folk has, you know, had a hamstring issue or whatever the case may be. But yeah, he's, you know, Nick Folk is the guy moving forward.
Are there any guys on the bubble right now, any late decisions that will be made as a result of the game with the Giants?
Boy, that's a good question. I don't know, at least at this point. The guys who need to have a good close to their preseason are guys like Juwan Williams, guys like, you know, Harvey Longy, guys who are probably between that, you know, 50 and 60 spot on the roster that they need to make some decisions about, who are probably playing too well to get through to the practice squad, but are maybe not playing well enough to make the 53 at this point. Those are two of the guys that I would look for. Two of the guys who I think have played pretty well over the course of the summer, but they need to continue to do that. They need to continue to make those moves forward if they're going to end up being on the roster at this point. So, yeah, there are a handful of guys, the younger guys, those guys in the bubble. This last preseason game is going to be very important to their overall chances of making the roster. I'm not saying it's going to be the only reason why they make it, but I think it's going to be one of the reasons that they make the roster. The other thing, too, I want to bring this up. This is really important. I think that Stevenson right now was the choice of my guy if we're making roster calls here. Stevenson's going to make it, the running back at Oklahoma. Mm. But I think at the same time, I think he might be ticketed for that Shane Vereen, James White, Trey Flowers kind of freshman redshirt year if everyone stays healthy in that backfield. They like him so much, there's going to be no way that they can cut him and get him through the practice squad. But he might not have the talent necessary to push a, let's say, you know, another back aside to be able to get real rep. Damien Harris, you know, for example, that, you know, so he's going to be one of those guys who I think they want to keep around. They're going to figure out a way to try and keep around. He may even be able to have some sort of impact this year, but I think ultimately his impact is going to be for, you know, 2022, 2023 and beyond.
We always like to ask you this before the season begins, Chris. Maybe Stevenson is the guy, but who's that player you see a little deeper on the depth chart that might make a surprising impact this season?
Let's see. I want to say Van Noy, but he's not that deep on the depth chart, and I feel like we're not talking about him enough in his return. He's just, and you know, I'll go back to Hightower too. The return of those two guys, you know, is just going to be really, really important to what they want to get done defensively. I can't overstate the importance of a guy like Hightower on this team, in the locker room, you know, on the practice field. You know, consistently showing young guys how it's done properly. You know, working as a leader. I'll go with Van Noy because I can't think of anyone else off the top of my head. Again, I'm not saying that he's a guy who is, you know, necessarily under the radar or buried on the depth chart, but I think he's a guy right now who we're not talking enough about in terms of his return, his ability to kind of set things straight again, his ability to kind of, you know, work as a multifaceted defender on that second level. So I'll go with Kyle.
All right, there you go. Christopher Price of the Boston Globe breaking it down for us. Chris, so great to talk with you again. Best part of football season is to get to chat with you on a regular basis.
I appreciate that, Rich. We'll talk again very, very soon, my friend.
Looking forward to it. Thank you, Chris. Christopher Price on Downtown.